Welcome to In the Shop, your source for advice on maintaining and repairing your vehicle.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
In the Shop on KGMI and KGMI.com.
One of the most important things when dealing with automobiles, whether behind the wheel, behind the wrench, or in front of the bumper, is safety.
That is right.
And we've got a number of automotive safety-related issues to talk about this morning. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic here with Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. We are taking your calls, 360-676-KGMI. That's 360-676-5464. We'd love to hear from you, maybe your automotive-related injury. Something that could have been avoided. We can always learn from that. You were shaking your head at me there.
Things happen quick. They happen. I'm not a technician, but I play one in my own shop at home.
Well, boy, we had our little group chat going this week of the in the shop.
Yeah, events made a group chat.
It was kind of funny because I made the comment it was devolving into a teenage group chat.
It felt like it.
Then we get the message from Steve at the Panacea Auto Repair with a picture of his blocked parking lot, lack of power.
Oh, yeah.
Semi double trailer with his sign leaning up against it in front of his shop the other morning.
I think he could have got a stick or something to hold that sign up instead of a semi truck.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
You know, a little comment on safety there. And
absolutely.
You know, I didn't hear how the driver of that truck was. And, I don't know if KGMI had a shot of that on their webpage. Steve should share that to the station up here.
Yes, he should.
I told him to, it's a viral media free publicity because the picture they had in the Bellingham Herald showed the other side of the truck that didn't have a sign leaning up against it.
Oh, we need to fix that.
And they needed the picture that Steve had with his sign busted off, leaning precariously against the cab. I hope the driver was okay.
I do too.
But looking at how that truck drove off the road on a straight section of the Mount Baker Highway heading east right at the Britton Road, not sure what happened.
I don't know. That was the first morning of frost.
It was the first morning of frost, but that truck was going pretty straight, just straight off the side of the road.
Kind of looked that way.
You know, I've talked to volunteer firefighter down the Acme area, kind of about a lot of the semis we see going off the road along Highway 9, which is a somewhat narrow roadway through the straight sections of it down there with not a lot of shoulder. And that shoulder that does exist tends to have like a 6 to 8 inch drop off into the, wheel grabbing gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the trucks that are going down there, like it or not, maybe they could be taking I-5 instead of Highway 9. Texting and cell phone use, where drivers feel comfortable on straight sections of roadway to take their attention away from driving. And it doesn't take much, especially on Highway 9 there, to take you right off the side of the road when you don't pay attention.
No, I agree. So let's get into what we were going to talk about here.
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned, one thing that I think is really important this time of the year for multiple reasons is the days get shorter. It gets darker out earlier. It gets light out later. And these days when you're headed to work in the morning before 8 o'clock and it's still dark out and you're heading home at, 5 o'clock or later, it's getting dark out now.
It is.
There are buses and kids on the roadway.
Yeah, actually, my wife brought this up before I left this morning and just mentioned a reminder. You've got kids at bus stops, and, they're not staying off the road all the time. There's a lot of, I remember when I was a kid, a lot of horseplay at the bus stop, and you'd run around and end up in the road from time to time, and it just takes having your eyes on your phone, like you'd said, to miss that. So we just need to be careful, and it's getting foggy. I see the fog every morning, and it's just hides these kids.
Yeah, I think with bus safety and the roadway, obviously you've got kids at the bus stops. Now in the county, there's no sidewalks. There's nothing.
Mm-mm.
There's no barrier except a mailbox.
Right.
That's not going to protect a group of kids standing there. But as being aware of the bus lights, red lights, don't pass, the stop sign. And we have we have a problem here, as we do across the country, of people not always paying attention to the stop sign on the buses. And I think out in the county, it becomes even worse because you get the lineup of cars behind the bus and you get somebody who needs to get to work.
Yep.
And they're in a hurry.
Or they're running late.
And they decide to pass. Yep. And you may have kids on the opposite side of the road, or kids that are going to cross in front of the bus. And mm-hmm. and passing a bus with that sign out is a pretty hefty fine. I want to say, you know, 400 plus these days.
As it should be.
There are buses that do have cameras now, but bus drivers can also take down license numbers, and they will mail you a ticket.
Oh, okay.
So I know the bus driver will hop on their radio at a safe point and radio that license number back to the station, back to their base at the school, mm-hmm. and they'll call the police on it, rightfully so. So it's something you really want to pay attention to is school safety and bus safety with kids out there.
Absolutely. Hey, back to our earlier topic, I just got an urgent update from Steve, and he said the driver was unhurt, but apparently fell asleep.
Looking at the front of that semi cab, I would say that says something about semi safety.
It does. It does.
Unfortunate. But again, when you're talking about the days getting shorter, people being tired, and making sure you're alert on the roadway, they say that a tired driver that's lacking in sleep is as or more dangerous than an intoxicated driver.
Yeah.
Depends on the level of intoxication, I guess. But either way, you don't want to be that person.
Yeah, you don't want to be on the road. I did lots of years of driving to Oregon and back, and yeah, I knew when it was time to pull over.
Yeah, I've had a couple incidents in the past where I ended up having to pull over and probably should have pulled over sooner,
mm-hmm.
being aware that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I brought some information on workplace safety in auto repair, and this kind of really applies to whether you're working on your car in your garage, in the driveway, maybe in your buddy's shop.
Right.
But some important things to think about. And looking at common injuries in auto repair, and I think these are going to apply equally to people working at home and what happens to them. And the statistics differ from a state level to like a national level, but overexertion and falling are kind of two of the most common reasons of injury. I think overexertion, if you're not accustomed to physical labor, just taking tires on and off a car, especially when you're kneeling down, bent over, stooping, real easy to pull a muscle or cause an injury. And something we're pretty aware of in the shop, that's why we have hoists to make life easier and, more importantly, safer for our technicians. One thing that I've noticed, and if I look back at our very short list of injuries at the shop, which Labor and Industries has a really detailed list that a business can go up and look on their own injuries, eye injuries are number one in the state and at our shop.
Yep.
And fortunately, we have no time lost due to injuries in 20 years at the shop, knock on wood.
Yeah.
But eye injuries and a foreign object in the eye, dust, dirt, and I think little bits of metal, brake lathe spits off a lot of metal. Even with safety glasses, sometimes it's hard to avoid them. But eye protection is probably number one on my list.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you don't think about it. You might be doing something that you wouldn't normally wear eye protection for. And like you said, you touch the wrong thing and a piece of rust jumps off or dirt or water drops.
There's some sort of magnetic attraction between your eye surface and rust from an exhaust.
Exactly. And it always seems to happen.
When my eyesight was better and I didn't need reading glasses, even with safety glasses on, I've been under a car in the past and the rust on the exhaust is a good one. As I've watched like little flakes of stuff come off it and it goes into slow motion and it comes down, it hits my forehead, bounces to the inside of my safety glasses, and then back into my eye.
It's funny how right when it's going to hit your eye, everything slows down.
And I don't do well with anything in my eye.
Yeah.
So I try to be pretty careful in that respect.
I don't feel like anybody does.
Like when I was 18 going to Western, and I was working in Bellingham, and I'd gotten a little piece of something in my eye at work in a shop. And I thought I got it washed out. They had eye safety and eye wash and everything. And I'm driving home on I-5. It's like, I think it was 8:30 or so in the evening. And then my eye got so painful and so much water was coming out of it, I had to drive home with one hand over my one bad eye. And I just went straight to the hospital in Mount Vernon to get it cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
They whip out their little blunt-ended Dremel thing to dig it out of my eye. And it came right out, and then it felt so much better. But eye safety.
Yeah, absolutely. We've few guys. I mean, I had one not too long ago was telling me he got something in his, and boy, you look at it, and they do the yellow dye. Have you? Obviously, you've seen it where they put the dye in your eye so you can see the scratches that it left.
And a lot of times the scratches that are in the eye after an injury aren't necessarily from the object going into the eye. It's from you rubbing your eye and smoothing that object all over.
Your fingernail.
trying to get it out. We've got an eye wash station, I'm sure you do as well, for safety. Yep. And, you know, that it gets used. Mm-hmm. And we also have eye wash cups and little disposable sanitary tears packets.
Yep.
And I'm all over anybody if they ever have an irritated eye to go wash them, put in one of the lubricating packets and take care of it now to keep it from becoming a problem.
And that's another thing to keep in mind. I mean, we all have shops and you have to keep up on this stuff. So the eye wash stations, just simple. We asked OSHA to come in and go through our shop and make sure we're up to date and started to look through stuff. We did okay. There's always something you can do better, but I wash the station, and I don't know if everybody's familiar with it, but it's a fold-down station that's already filled with the eye wash. Well, that stuff goes bad.
And a preservative that must be changed every 6 months.
Yeah, so there's dates, so we started dating everything. And, I mean, there's just a lot that goes into it. We looked in our medicine cabinet, and we had...
Had to throw out the 20-year-old
We had
spray
to throw
antiseptic.
Out stuff that had been there longer than I had, yeah. So, yeah, it was just interesting. It's something to keep up that you don't really think about.
Yeah, we earlier this year went through a safety inspection also, mm-hmm. and had a couple minor things.
Yep.
I think if you go through and you don't have if they don't find something that you can improve on, they're not doing their job.
And I think it's okay
because nobody's perfect. And we found some things, identified them, and took care of them. We did have our eye wash station up to date, and across the board, most things. I think when they come in to do the inspection, we're reviewing our injury record.
Yeah.
I think that I let that speak for itself because we're very safety conscious and it shows in our statistics that we're way below the average for an auto repair shop with injuries, which I'm proud of.
Were you up to date to having the no injury sheets ready?
That
was one of my weak points.
I think the data keeping is the area that we were lacking the most in proper documentation of all of our safety meetings and reviewing and having that information together. But we are up to date now.
Yeah, we had the safety meetings were fine. It was the action plan.
Yes.
I don't remember what they called it, but I had to write one of those.
That's right. We've got one as well.
Yep.
Well, you are in the shop. We're talking about automotive repair and safety, but we'd love to talk about your car problems. So give us a call, 360-676-KGMI. You are in the shop with Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Auto Repair.
And we come to you with breaking news. It appears Linden Sheet Metal just announced a sale on heating and cooling equipment. We now join Barry and Barometer.
Linden Sheet Metal is having the sale of the season, and people are flocking in droves to take advantage of this rare sale on equipment from American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, who is one of the nation's top-rated brands for heating and cooling equipment. Rose, what are the details?
Well, Barry, we are offering up to 10% off new quotes on American Standard Heating and Cooling equipment, or special financing for 60 months with approval of credit. Between this sale and utility rebates, you can save thousands.
There you have it. Top equipment from a top company, all on sale. Call Linden Sheet Metal, your independent American Standard dealer today for details. Back to you.
That, folks, is all the news that is news.
Take advantage of this rare sale on American Standard heating and cooling equipment. Call today to reserve your share of the savings. Linden Sheet Metal, on the corner of Guide and Main beside John Deere.
Hi, it's Bobby Maynard, the general manager of Northwest Honda. Winning over four major awards, the 2019 Honda CR-V is a triple threat. It packs a host of high-tech equipment, impressive fuel economy, and copious cargo space. With integrated Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, plus a standard suite of Honda Sensing keeping you and your loved ones safe on the road. Reliability has never been so sexy. Honda's five-year cost of ownership is the lowest in the industry. Get into Northwest Honda for a test drive and experience our award-winning brand for yourself. On Iowa Street in Bellingham and online at northwesthonda.com.
What's up?
We were on vacation and didn't realize our propane tank was empty. I'm not sure who to call.
We like Northwest Propane. They're locally owned and have great customer service.
Oh, do you think they could help us?
Sure. Give them a call.
Turn to Northwest Propane for the service you expect. They're the number one choice for Whatcom, Skagit, Island, and Snohomish counties. Call or visit them online at nwpropane.net. Northwest Propane is a proud sponsor of the Washington State Cougar football team.
Listen each Saturday morning to Radio Real Estate, hosted by local real estate expert Mike Kent.
Mike's guest this Saturday is Whatcom County Sheriff Bill Elfo. What's happening with local public safety? What changes have been made and why? Join them on Radio Real Estate.
Sponsored by Bank of the Pacific, Linden Sheet Metal, Wynnewood Enterprises, and Windermere Real Estate. Each Saturday at 10 on KGMI, News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI News Talk 790 or the Cascade Radio Group.
I don't know what it's about, really.
Well, I woke up this morning.
Waylon Jennings. Been binging on the Ken Burns Country Music 16-hour documentary, Dan and Brian.
Nice.
So you're the beneficiaries of that.
Right. I am good with that.
I am good, too.
The reason I come here Saturday morning, number one on the list is Mike and his music. Number two,
bumper music,
is Automotive Talk.
That's right. It's good to have Mike back.
And honestly, if you're working on your car in your driveway, one of the necessary things to keep you in the mood is the right music.
Good
right?
old-time country music. Country and Western,
as Brian. As much as I love Mike and his taste in music, there are areas where we do diverge.
I'm sorry, I agree
with Mike.
I'll
go crawl under a rock now.
There's so much blending these days that half of country is rock and roll.
True. Very true.
Somebody's probably going to call on that one. But
yeah.
Well, we are taking your calls, 360-676-KGMI. You are in the shop. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic. Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. We keep talking about Steve and the accident out in front of the Panacea. Which yeah. Did we mention that the driver was okay? The
driver was okay.
And
we did mention it.
Okay,
he fell asleep. Remember, it was an urgent news flash.
I must have been sleeping.
You were. I think you were.
Safety and working on your car. And you brought a list here talking about a few different things. And one of the simplest thing, it seemingly, is jacking your car up.
Yeah, getting it off the ground.
Do the brakes, change a tire. And
we've all drove down that housing development where you see a car jacked up on a block of wood.
Yeah, jacked up on a block of wood with somebody laying underneath it.
Yeah, on the curb at an angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that one with my kids, and my wife is real adamant about this. Her dad had her, when she got a car, go out and change a tire on her mm-hmm. car when she was 16. And so she knew how to do it, and she'd be safe out on the road. I don't know if she's ever had to change one herself.
That's why she married you. That's one of the only reasons.
But safety in that respect on jacking a car up, which seems pretty straightforward, most of the jacks that come with cars are not the highest quality or best jacking device.
Really?
Yeah, really?
Oh, no.
I look at like my Honda and Subarus I've had all the years. They always come with a classic scissor jack.
Correct.
Which is very lightweight, non-rugged, seemingly ready to break.
Mm-hmm.
And if a car is on a slope or moves forward or back at all, they have a tendency to bend, warp, twist, fall. I've seen it happen.
So do you feel that those are put in there to save room so they fit in the little jack spot where the old bottle jack is no longer used?
Yeah, I think that from a safety perspective, they're required. But from an engineering perspective, I think the minimum legal requirement is pretty minimal.
Yeah.
And for being on the side of the road, some of these I've looked at, I've seen the European vehicles that come, I call it the half a scissor jack.
You were telling me.
It's kind of hard to describe on the air, but if you've got a Subaru or a Honda with a scissor jack, imagine if you cut that thing in half, then that's what they give
that's
you.
That's what you have.
To jack the car up. And I would be afraid changing a tire on the side of the road, because if a semi drove by, I'm sure it would blow it over.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Changing a tire on the side of the road, one thing that I've always done is as soon as I get the bad tire off, I mm-hmm. put it underneath the car next to the jack. So if the car comes off the jack, it's going to land on my tire. Yeah, mm-hmm. it might damage the tire or the rim, but the car is not going to be down on the road, my foot, me, my yep. arm, or anything else. And then I put the spare tire on. At home, jack stands.
Yes.
And sometimes more than one, and a lot of times it's good once you get the car up to a workable height, go a little bit higher, get the jack stand in the appropriate yeah. place, And then set some weight down on it so that you know that it's stable. I've seen cars come off of a jack onto the jack stand and have the jack stand roll over because the car shifts forward or back as it comes down.
And the other thing I would stress, I mean, I was a genius little kid. When I was 16, I could fix anything on the truck that I had. I remember a day where I crawled
underneath.
Give it
enough time.
I know. I did a clutch. My first thing I did was a clutch in my Toyota pickup. And I remember rolling the floor jack under it. I built this nice little wood holder so the transmission would come out great. And I crawled in. I somehow managed to get myself between the jack and the transmission. So if the jack released. And my dad walked out to check and make sure we hadn't ruined my truck. And he saw what I was doing and had me back out of there. And a quick sweep of his hand, because he saw that the jack was going to go. I don't know how he did it. And got his hand in there trying to stop it from hitting us. I mean, it's crazy.
He put his life on the line for you.
He did. He did.
That's what dads are for.
Yeah, that's the first time I got to watch somebody drill their black fingernails. It was rough.
That is an interesting story because I had a similar conversation. My dad wasn't there.
I feel like we all have.
But I had a similar conversation with my dad and the three bottle jacks, a four-wheel moving dolly, and plywood and other wood propped up to balance the transfer case and transmission so I could do the clutch on my Nissan Patrol.
There it is.
And yes, it also fell off my intricate, unstable support mechanism. Fortunately, I was not under it. Boy, it looks like we've got, we're going to take a quick break here, but we do have a caller in line we're going to get back to. And if you'd like to get in line to talk to us as well, 360-676-KGMI, you are in the shop with Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic and Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive.
If you're a qualified medical assistant, dental hygienist, or behavioral health counselor, or work in other areas of healthcare, consider a career with Unity Care Northwest. Receive competitive pay and great benefits like medical, dental, and vision insurance, a health savings account, 401k retirement plan, life insurance, license reimbursement, generous paid time off, and more. A local nonprofit healthcare provider, Unity Care Northwest is part of a national network of community health centers providing high-quality, accessible healthcare services for the whole person. And Unity Care Northwest recently expanded their campus to serve North Whatcom County residents, providing access to dental, medical, behavioral health, and pharmacy services at their North Whatcom Health Center on Portal Way in Ferndale. For a rewarding and enriching career, join the team at Unity Care Northwest today. You may even be eligible for a signing bonus. For a full description of benefits and a list of career opportunities, visit unitycarenw.org and Careers tab.
Time to get your home ready for the winter. Hi, I'm Lorraine from Lorraine's Window Coverings. The Season of Style Savings event comes just in time with rebate savings on beautiful Hunter Douglas window fashions. During the Hunter Douglas Season of Style event, now through December 9th.
738-8175. Call Lorraine for your new blind.
Stop by Lorraine's Window Covering and Interiors new store in Bakerview Square. Limitations and restrictions apply. Ask for details.
KGMI News Update.
KGMI News Time 931, 46 degrees now in Bellingham as we head for our high of 57 today. A panel of international aviation regulators found that Boeing withheld key information about the 737 MAX from pilots and regulators, and the FAA lacked the expertise to understand an automated flight system implicated in two deadly crashes of 737 MAX jets. In its report issued Friday, the panel made 12 recommendations for improving the FAA's certification of new aircraft, including more emphasis on understanding how pilots will handle the increasing amount of automation driving modern planes. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission has approved a six-month ban on the sale of flavored vaping products amid an outbreak of illnesses that have sickened more than 1,000 people nationwide and killing two in Oregon. The board made a unanimous decision yesterday before a room packed with marijuana processors, distillers, and other business interests, some of whom criticized the action as overly broad and reactive. Earlier this month, Oregon Governor Kate Brown had ordered the temporary ban. Several other states, including Washington and New York, Michigan, and Rhode Island, have also imposed temporary bans. Buy a Ford, get a gun. That's the motto at this dealership. More from CBS News correspondent Matt Piper.
Forget about a free calendar or an Amazon gift card. A Ford dealer in South Carolina is offering car buyers a Bible, an American flag, and a $400 gun with the purchase of a new vehicle through next month. It's happening at Carolina Ford in Honey Path, and it's God, Guns, and America promotion. Customers who purchased a vehicle must provide a past background check before using a voucher to buy a firearm at a gun store about 20 minutes south of the dealership. Similar deals have popped up in Rochester, New Hampshire, and Andrews, Texas. Ford says dealerships are independent businesses. Matt Piper, CBS News.
KGMI Dependable Forecast, going to see a cloudy high of 57 today and then rains back tomorrow. The only dry day next week is Monday, otherwise breezy, rainy highs just in the mid-50s. It's 46 now in Bellingham. Mike Davis, KGMI News.
Our mission at Barron Heating and Air Conditioning is to improve lives. Every day, we live out our mission by providing exceptional heating, cooling, air quality, and energy solutions centered around a customer-first experience. Hi, I'm Brad Barron, engineer and fourth-generation Barron at Barron Heating. Our team is dedicated to finding the most effective ways to increase energy efficiency, optimize comfort, and improve indoor air quality. Working with in-house engineers and scientists, Barron certified technicians utilize the latest technology to solve everyday problems. Barron Heating looks beyond the box in your crawl space, garage, and attic to identify real home performance challenges that homeowners face. Call Barron today. You'll see and experience why we do what we do. Let us show you affordable ways we can make your home more comfortable, healthy, and energy efficient. Barron Heating and Air Conditioning, your Pacific Northwest home and building performance experts since 1972. Our mission, improving lives.
At Mount Baker Roofing, not only do they take pride in their work, but they pledge to complete your project quickly and with the quality and craftsmanship you require. Specializing in re-roofing, gutters, and new construction. Serving the community for more than 35 years, Mount Baker Roofing provides a labor warranty that exceeds industry standards and utilizes the highest grade in local products such as ICO, manufactured in Sumas, Washington. Call them today at 733-0191 for a free estimate or visit online at mtbakerroofing.com.
Fish stories are welcome, too, in the shop on KGMI. News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Let it roll. Wait for it. It?
No.
Ryan?
No.
Can't you see?
But I'll sing along when it starts.
Yeah.
I do that with my kids. I'll play a song and they're like, say the band, like, who's that? What's this? I don't know that. And then when the lyrics come on, it's like any Journey song. They know all the lyrics to them.
That's about right.
It was funny. We were at a friend's house a couple summers ago and there were a bunch of graduates there from Ferndale. And the friend of our son had graduated and they're all sitting around the campfire, like half a dozen of them, and singing along to Journey. You know, 35 years after the songs were published. It's good to see. Actually,
I'm kind of with Mike. When I went and rode back with Thomas from Virginia from Coast Guard boot camp, he played Waylon. We listened to a lot of old country. Really got into it.
Little Hank Jr. maybe?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, there was I can't remember.
Country Boy Can Survive. That's my favorite Hank song.
Yeah. That was 3 days of old country. Nonstop.
Long drive.
It was a long drive.
Well, you are in the shop. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic. Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. 360-676-KGMI. And I think we've got a patient, Jonathan, on the line here. Good morning.
Hey, thanks, y'all. Appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely.
I got a 2000 Mercedes 320 CLK. It's one of them two doors, and the both door handles. I'm assuming I knocked off. I can't open the door on either side, and I was having a problem
from the inside or outside.
See, that's the problem. Both.
So, well, how do you get in the car?
That's why it's a two-door, man.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, so, and, you know, I got this car from a friend, and this is, like, the only thing that's going to be a problem. What I need to do is, it's that the door latch, that unit, you know, that's connected to it latches on.
Yep.
And it was getting frozen before, and that was a problem. But I ordered one, and now both the outside handle don't work nor the inside.
Is the window down?
Nah.
So you can't get in the car
at
all?
The window goes up and down, no problem. The window goes up and down, no problem.
But, well, how do you get in the car if none of the doors will open?
No, I mean, it's just the one door.
Oh, it's just one side.
That's
okay.
Lucky.
Yeah, it's just a latch. The latch is frozen. I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one, and a lot of times it will lead to some damage to the door panel or something else getting it off. Now, when you say neither the inside nor the outside will work, I start thinking there's a problem, obviously, in the door latch, but I start thinking maybe this is in the lock mechanism. When you try to, like, flip the door lock on that door, is that like a tab or a lever you can move, or is it a semi-electronic
lock? The door locks, no problem. Like, it's actuate. It's going up and down when you unlock it. Hit the auto lock, it goes up and it goes down, no problem. That's not bound at all.
Okay.
And the spring is functioning just fine on the outside handle.
Yeah.
I know that the inside handle is it's just off, like, you know, it's off its armature. It's
right.
An actual wire, but because this is all wire bound, it's not like
there's a cable.
From what I can tell, it's just all wires. It used like a brake, like a bicycle brake.
Yep, mm-hmm. A little sliding cable inside a sheath. So
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sometimes now, you can shine a flashlight with the window down into that little gap where the window is, and they make these little plastic wedges to give you a little bit more space.
Yeah.
And you can see down in there, and using a stiff rod, coat hangers usually aren't good enough, but these lockout kits that we have at the shop sometimes can get down in there and get them unlocked.
Yes, sir.
On that, one thing I might try is here in Bellingham is like a locksmith to see about getting that open. One, they unlock doors professionally and maybe more familiar with that specific style.
No, I appreciate you. I really do. But I'm going to do all that. What I was curious about, which I think you guys might, let's just say, worst case, the latch is frozen. It's like winter out here. You ain't going to open. What do I do now? Do I just have to take a hole saw to the door?
Well,
at that latch and then try to, or is there like a way to,
well, I think,
you know.
I think Brian touched on it a little bit at the start, is that you could, I mean, it may cause some damage, but somebody's got to get through that inner panel and try and access it. And with the door closed, that is no easy task. But I think it's better than a hole saw to the outside, which I actually have seen.
Yes, I have as well. So to get that inner panel off, sometimes if you pull out the seat, is it the driver's side or passenger side?
It's the driver's side.
That's
sir.
Even worse. But sometimes if you get if you can get the seat out, there's probably some electrical connectors under the seat and then bolt at each corner that holds that seat down, is get that seat up and out of the way a little bit so you can get to the door panel. The door panel is still probably going to be blocked by the edge of the dash and maybe some of the door frame itself. And that's why we've had some where we've had to go in and basically destroy the door panel. You can get a used replacement one. But destroy that door panel to get in there, and then you're going to be able to get it open, and that might be the only way.
Yeah, and I'm down for just like getting it, going to Grundy's or whatever and getting a new door, or old door rather, and just like switching it out. But I just want to make sure that I was on the right path.
You're on the right path.
Yeah,
it is a bumpy path.
It's not going to be fun.
You're walking barefoot over hot coals on this one.
Yeah, man, working on these cars ain't fun no matter what, so
no.
I'm down with that. Well, I appreciate y'all.
You
I really
it.
Do. And,
thanks for the call, Jonathan. Good luck.
Thank
Let
you.
Us know how it goes. Boy, that's a tough one. And
it
we
is.
Have, we have cars come in where you can't get them from the inside and outside. And on that Mercedes, I'm not sure it's going to work, the whole going down through the window opening.
No.
But we've gotten pretty creative and pretty talented with two people holding a flashlight, a couple plastic wedges to get down in there and push and pull things. One thing that we've seen on door latches over the years, and it's somewhat common, is they get stuck in between locked and unlocked.
Right.
And then neither handle will work. And we call it the magic spring. There's this little tiny spring on the door latch that sometimes will break. It's common in Toyotas and Hondas and a lot of vehicles. And if you can get to that lever where the broken spring is and pull it up or down just a couple millimeters, then it'll unlock and open.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting to it that's the trick.
Yes.
360-676-KGMI. You are in the shop. Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic. Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive.
Fall into some great savings at Wilson's Furniture this season. You'll find living room, bedroom, and dining room furniture in a style and at a price point that fits your home and your budget. Wilson's Furniture. Open 7 days a week on Pacific Highway in Ferndale.
Northwest Washington HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at NorthwestWashingtonHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Looking for a rewarding career with a great company? Look no further than your neighborhood CHS Northwest. Join a team of great people helping their friends and neighbors. Find out more at CHSNW.com. CHS Northwest. Everything you need for home and farm.
The days are getting shorter, and you're starting to spend more time inside. It's time for a visit to Wilson's Furniture, where you can make sure the long nights ahead will be as comfortable as possible. At Wilson's Furniture, you'll find reclining sofas and motion furniture with your choice of fabric and styles. Literally thousands of possible combinations. And the staff at Wilson's are there to help you find the furniture most comfortable for you and your budget. Wilson's Furniture opens 7 days a week on Pacific Highway in Ferndale. Talking with Wilson Furniture owner John Wilson about King Coil mattresses.
Yeah, we're really excited to introduce King Coil mattresses. They've been in business since 1898, you know, manufactured in the U.S., and they're the only mattress to receive the gold endorsement by the International Chiropractors Association.
So what does King Coil do that's different from other mattress manufacturers?
It's got the individual pocketed coils. I think there's like 600 comfort coils and 300 support coils.
Check out the new King Coil lineup at Wilson's Furniture, open 7 days a week on Pacific Highway in Ferndale.
Impreza your friends, Impreza your neighbors, Impreza your pets, Impreza everyone. Stop by Dewey Griffin Subaru today and test drive a 2019 Subaru Impreza. You'll be impressed with the Impreza. The sporty all-wheel drive has so many safety features. Fuel economy up to 36 miles per gallon. And right now you can get financing as low as 0.9% on all 2019 Imprezas. At the Subaru Love Retailer of the Year, Dewey Griffin Subaru. Community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru-certified tire and service center in the county.
If you're looking for a great-paying part-time job with flexible hours, check out 2020 Census Jobs. You may have another job, or not. You may even be retired or looking for some extra income, but you can also help make sure that everyone gets counted. So apply today at 2020census.gov/jobs to help strengthen your community.
Pacers and Pintos, pickups and Plymouths. Yeah, the guys have seen it all. In the shop on KGMI.
You make me weak. I'm gonna die.
Seems like high school all over again.
Boy, Mike needs his own station.
He does.
He just needs a station.
This is why he's here.
This is it.
Creative outlet.
Listen to my illegal radio station someday.
Okay,
that's all I'm going to say.
Good.
I haven't heard about that. Pirate radio right here. 360-676-KGMI. You are in the shop. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic. Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. I give you that phone number. But we got the call stacked up, so we better start working on them here. And we've got Randy in Bellingham that's going to tell us how to get that door open from before the break.
Yeah, you kind of touched on it, but I'll tell you what I did when it happened to me. That, you know, none of the solutions were good. So what I did was I got about a 3/8 inch steel rod that was maybe 3 feet long. I was able to stick a screwdriver in between the window and the door frame to kind of hold the weather stripping back. And then you get one of those little powerful flashlights so you can see what you're doing. And I stuck the rod in there.
And got a big hammer.
Stuck the rod in there and was able to push that little button on the latch. And, you know, sometimes you may have to bend it. I think I had to bend the end of the rod a little bit, you know, to get it in the right direction. But basically, the idea is just to get in there and so you can see and hold that weather strip back with a screwdriver or something and just start poking away, and eventually you're going to hit the right button that'll open your door. And it worked for me. I've done it a couple of times.
What kind of car was that you did it on?
It was a 97 Ford Explorer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went through, first of all, I went to a locksmith, and he told me he couldn't do anything unless it actually had to do with the lock.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to the dealership, and they were going to just kind of pry out the side panel with a pro bar, you know, a flat bar, which was one of the options, or the other one was to cut a hole in it.
Yeah.
So I just figured I had nothing to lose. But
you're right.
Yeah, what commonly goes wrong is those springs break, and that's the end of it. And once you can't get the door open, you can't replace the latch.
That's right. No, the 30-cent totally spring ruins the $400 latch in a Mercedes.
Four. It's probably eight.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Randy. Appreciate that tip. There is an old saying in auto repair, if you can't get it off, just find a bigger hammer.
Yeah.
And it always solves your problem.
Yep.
It may cause new ones.
It may.
We've got Ed on the line here in Bellingham with a fuel injection question.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey.
I got like a 93 Ford Ranger, and there's a small piece of like hose that connects to two fuel rails. You know, I don't know, it must be to kind of balance the pressure between the two. And it seems to be leaking.
So that is you probably got a V6 in that Ford?
Yeah.
All right. So that's just it just takes fuel from one side of the engine to the other side. And normally on the fuel rail, the fuel comes into the fuel rail on one side, goes through that rail, crosses over to the other side of the rail. And somewhere on those rails, maybe at one end, maybe in the middle, is a pressure regulator that sends fuel back to the tank and keeps the pressure regulated at the right point. Now, some of these have spring lock fittings, quick connect fittings, not always quick disconnect fittings, with a little spring detent catch and a couple O-rings on there. And so if it's leaking right where it attaches at that joint, and you can take that hose and twist it a little bit where it meets, sometimes it just needs new O-rings and a spring lock. And like Bellingham Auto Parts, Napa sells these little spring lock kits that reseal those.
Yeah.
If that's not the case and it's affixed in a way that it actually doesn't come apart, you may need a new fuel rail. And I'm trying to think on that era Ford on whether those actually disconnect or not. And most of them don't. So without seeing a picture, it's kind of hard to say. But I'd look real close at that. If you look where the main fuel line, the pressure line, comes up to the fuel rail, that should be a spring lock coupling there. And it just looks like a rubber hose that meets metal, and there will be like a larger metal rib that goes around it. And there's space to get this little plastic or metal tool in there that slides inside around the hose, inside that joint that pushes the spring outward over the catch so it comes apart. That probably didn't make any sense, but it's hard to describe over the radio.
No. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, it looks like a fitting that, well, I don't know. It looks like something that I haven't really seen before, and I just wanted to ask. I might have to take somebody to have them look at before, because I don't want to do something and screw something up and put myself in a worse situation than I would. Because it's drivable now. It's like just a minute leak.
Talking about safety here, if a vehicle is visibly leaking fuel and it's getting damp with fuel, it's not okay to drive right now. That is what causes engine fires. And all it takes is one spark plug to arc under the hood when there are vapors or the smell of fuel present, and it can cause a major issue. So I'd be cautious about taking the it's not really a big deal approach. When somebody calls me on the phone at work and says, hey, my car's leaking fuel, I'd like to bring in and get it checked. And I say, absolutely, but please tow it in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know you didn't want to hear
that's not what you wanted to hear. Sorry.
But I probably spend some time searching on the internet if you're going to fix that yourself and see what one of those Ford spring lock couplings looks like and see if that's what you're dealing with. And then you can call Napa, and I'm sure they have those. There's two or three sizes, pretty common.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Ed. Thanks for the call.
Today's camera phones make that job pretty easy. You can snap a picture of it, run into Napa. This is what I'm working on.
Yeah, you can take your Google phone and hit the little button that analyzes your photo, and then it'll tell you what it is.
Oh, there you go.
Smart AI.
See, I'm not that smart.
Neither am I, but my phone is. Let's see. We've got Margaret on the line here with a headlight issue. Good morning, Margaret.
Yes, thank you. I took the Jeep in for the oil change last week, like you said. And it's when I went to push the I pushed the wrong bar, which made my high beams come on. And it said had a picture of the car with disabled on it. And then high beams disabled, and then when I pushed it back, it said high beams enabled. I've never had that show up. And they said the car, you don't have to even touch anything because it automatically will sensor if you need them on and not. But when you press to put them on, if you want to put them on, why would it say high beam disabled? Well, and then... You know, I've never, like I said, never had that.
So it shows, I know. I'm not familiar with the Jeep, but I know that my wife's new Toyota has auto high beams. So you have it in a setting where it, you know, it sees what's coming in, or if you're behind somebody and it applies the high beams, I'm assuming it's saying disabled that function. So if it has auto high beams and you've manually switched it forward, it might be disabling the auto high beams.
This is an interesting question. We're going to have to figure this out, Dan.
Yeah. Now that you're out of that position in the switch, I would assume. I mean,
yeah. I was kind of taking the assumption that the technology is too smart for us.
Yes.
Which generally causes problems. That if it has auto
too smart for the guys at the place too.
Yeah. That if it has
in the Chrysler. So auto... I'm thinking the only ones that ever know anything are you guys. and I never like. And this was in the day. I mean, so I thought, okay, is it because it's coming on and it shouldn't, and you don't need high beams, so it's not registering that it's dark.
Well, here's the deal, Margaret. I've got homework for you, and you're going to have to call us back next week. We may not be here, but our co-host will be here, and you're going to have to explain how these work. What I need you to do is when it's dark out and you're parked at your house in your garage or with your front of the car pointing towards a wall is turn your headlights on and then put that switch into the auto high beam disabled position. And then back to normal again, and see if they actually switch. You'll see them flick up and down on the wall, the illuminated area, and see if they do that. Because it's one possibility is that you're just disabling the auto high beam function, so they always stay on low beam, or you're disabling the auto function and you're switching them manually to high beam. Which I think that's probably the case, like Dan was saying.
Okay, so all I do is just push that bar forward, and when it says high beams. Disabled, pull it back.
Yep, and see if it actually changes the lights going up and down.
I can't turn them on manually. They come on.
You have to do it at night, so they'll be on already.
So just do that at night. And then, okay, what a stupid thing, mate.
Honestly, I am right there with you.
I am right with you. I agree.
What is wrong with a simple switch and no computer between it and the lights?
Absolutely.
That is
damn it. Go back to the old cars.
Right there with you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, always.
Thanks for the call.
And destroy all the cell phones. Go back to the 40-foot-long curly cord at home.
Or the brick. I like the brick.
Yeah, the brick.
I like the brick.
The brick can be used as a self-defense item.
It does. And you can fix your car with it.
For those
of you listening. Bigger hammer.
For those of you listening that are under the age of 30, the brick refers to the original cell phones that came out just after the bag phone.
I thought they were before the bag phone.
They had bag phones before.
Oh, wow.
But at the same time, you could get a brick phone or a bag phone.
Yes.
The bag phones came with bigger batteries.
They did.
Well, we're gonna squeeze Kirk in here before the show's over. Kirk's got a 2013 vehicle and a question about a muffler.
Yeah, my son lives in northern BC, and he's got a 2013 V6 Dodge pickup truck with a 3.6 liter. And he's been having some general problems with the lights coming on, throwing a code.
Ah.
And I can't tell you what those codes are offhand, but one of the things that they found was that the muffler was all packed up and full of rust and so forth, and so they just took it off. And he's been driving around without it. Now, my question is not having the muffler on there going to cause any problems with the computer?
Well,
might cause a problem with the pocketbook.
And my guess is the code that he was getting was a 420 code, which probably means most of his cat converter is inside that muffler.
Yeah, I think that's that. The terminology may be off here because it may be that the catalytic converter was plugged and they took out the catalytic converter rather than the muffler. And that's not really legal in BC or in the U.S. anywhere for an on-the-road vehicle if that's the case. But normally removing the muffler, that thing's going to get pretty loud, loud enough that if you go drive by a motorcycle cop that's, you know, got his ears right there, you're probably going to get pulled over. I know you will in Bellingham or Linden. You run around with no muffler long enough or a noisy muffler in your rice burner. You're going to get pulled over and maybe get a warning, maybe get a ticket. But I would expect that thing's pretty loud. So figuring out exactly what they took off, I think, is important. But I'm with Dan. It's likely a catalytic converter issue.
Okay, well, what I understood from him is that they replaced the catalytic converters, but they just left the muffler off because they'd already spent so much money.
Hmm. Yeah, that's rather odd. In a situation like that, normally we're not going to, like, do exhaust work and put it back together without a muffler. Sometimes on vehicles, and I don't know on that one, you've got the catalytic converters, and then you've got, like, a resonator and then you've got a muffler. So perhaps, so it looks like you have two mufflers, because sometimes a resonator just looks like a muffler, that they left one out. And sometimes an aftermarket exhaust system, even reputable ones, will have a replacement exhaust assembly that only has one muffler and no resonator in there. So that's a possibility as well. Again, with without photos of the codes, it's kind of hard to say. But if there's no muffler on there, you'd know and he'd know when you start it and run it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's loud. Yeah, he said it's plenty loud.
Yep.
But he's in northern BC. I guess they don't care as much about it as they might around here.
Oh, I guess, yeah, northern BC. He's way up there.
He's way up there.
Yeah. You know, normally it won't cause a problem. Actually, without tuning the engine or other things, sometimes taking the muffler off can change back pressure and affect your cold engine and low speed, low RPM performance and torque from the engine because it is tuned for a certain amount of back pressure.
Yes.
That being said, you've been in the shop. Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic. Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. We'll see you next week.
Hey, I got to do a quick shout out before we go.
My wife
told me I need to say hello to Bernice Courtheis, who listens to us every weekend. Thanks, Bernice.
This is News Talk 96.5 and AM 790, KGMI, Bellingham. KISM HD2, Bellingham, a Cascade Radio Group station.